Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk with Bev, a Black British mother of West Indian descent with two young adults based in London, UK. I'm not an expert of any kind, just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. Today, for all the listeners who regularly listen to my podcast, you know that the hashtag is a space for us to reflect on things. And this podcast hashtag is the power in the know. Not know, the knowing, but the word know. You know, when your parents say to you, no, that's what this podcast is about. I've tried to record this a couple of times and my laptop I need to invest in a new laptop actually. But let's just see how things go Anyway, I hope you're sitting comfortably, that you've got your beverage and or you're running around the place and you're listening. Let's just see how this flows, yeah? So as a parent, there are times where I've had to say no to my children for various reasons, one thing or another. You know, when they keep asking you over and over again for that treat and you hear yourself sounding like a broken record saying no, no, no. And they persist and keep on asking and asking, and eventually you get peed off and you either shout, no, like that's going to make any real difference, or you scream at them. Another thing you can do is you can ignore them. Or one of the things I've learned to do is to drown out their voices. It's an art form, believe me. Or you just give in, you relent because you're tired of the fight. You all know what I'm talking about because right now you're remembering an incident that either has recently taken place, where you better say no, or I've sparked a specific memory for you around when someone said no to you. So what has made me reflect on this topic and why now? Well, on Wednesday, the 28th of April, 2021, I took part in Citizens UK Mayoral Assembly. If you want to know more, then you're going to have to go and check it out on YouTube and look for London Citizens 2021 Citizens UK. And there are like six videos on all of the asks that we presented to the new potential two candidates for the mayor. And in London, we have just voted for new mayor and assembly members from across many parties and independents. But on this night, we were focused on two key people who the polls were saying were in the lead for us to look at. And that was Mr. Sean Bailey and Mr. Sadiq Khan. So you'll look on the YouTube and there will be six videos on all the asks. And the asks were around welcome and sanctuary, just transition, green jobs and the living wage, youth safety, housing and homelessness. More context can be found on YouTube, but the key thing is that people from all walks of life and faith have been working together to use their experience and anger to organise for positive changes for their lives and those within their communities. Anyway, the reason for the podcast and the power of no was because I was what you call a pinner. And my job was to ask Sean Bailey and Sadiq Khan if they would commit to specific asks that the youth safety team, of which I am a member, have been working on for the past 3 to 4 years. The youth safety asks were, one, more power to community panels regarding consequences of poor policing and research into the impact of Section 60 stop and search on Black and young Londoners. Two, a parent commissioner for London to amplify the voices of parents within City Hall, and three, for the mayor to call a round table of schools to look at exclusions, because in our opinion, exclusions act as a pipeline to gang crime and lack of hope for our young people. To cut a long story short, Sean Bailey agreed to all the asks, while Mr. Khan did not. So to be clear, Mr. Khan used up all the space to talk about his agenda and what he had done, but did not commit to the priorities that the youth safety team had asked for. So in my ears, this was a clear no. I did a podcast about that experience. I'm not yet decided if I want to share it, but let me know if you want to hear more on that subject. So I'll just do a quick shout out to all the pinners who represented organisations and thousands of people who got commitments and wins that were huge and will make a great difference in their lives. So if you've just joined the podcast, I'm talking about the word no, right? So based on that experience of being a pinner and hearing Sadiq Khan say no, how did I feel about hearing those no's? Truth be told, gutted. Why? Because I could hear all the yeses that were taking place around me from all the other campaigns. And I thought I would get some yeses too. And I did, because Sean Bailey said yes to everything. And I was glad that he committed to all those asks. But what I can't believe is that what I couldn't believe was that the then current mayor felt that all the stuff that he had done already was good enough. And then he tried to blind me with some science. And you know, when your child has done something wrong and you ask them directly if they've done it, and they go around the houses telling you about Tom, Dick and Sparrow and don't give you an answer to your question. Well, that is what it sounded like to me. Then when I challenged him, well, I think you're just going to have to go and watch the video, really. However, he tried to throw me off course, but I calmly responded that regardless, I didn't hear a yes to anything, not even the alternative suggestions that were asked of him. Now I have learnt never to burn your bridges, my dears, because tomorrow is another day. I don't know about you, but hearing no is difficult, especially when you want something so badly you think you're going to die if you can't have it. In my relationship with God, when he has said no or blocked my path to something I really thought that I wanted, it has been difficult. I've been angry, I've sulked, I've cussed, I've distanced myself, and even bargained. But the answer has still been no. I've had to humble myself and surrender to God's will, even when I haven't understood it. So I'm not going to lie to myself and say hearing the no's on that night didn't hurt, nor in my life where there have been no's, that didn't hurt me also. I'm also not going to lie and say I haven't felt guilty when I've had to say no. I felt guilty that I had not heard Mr. Khan say any clear yeses. Why? Because I felt I had let down the team and that maybe I hadn't asked in the right way. I have felt guilty when I had to say no to my children. I don't believe that I have been mean when I've said no. I just wondered if I'd done the right thing. Did I really listen to their needs? Or did I miss the opportunity to really meet their needs? Was I working only on my own agenda and using my power to impact them by saying no? I never got everything I wanted when I was growing up. And did it really harm me? You know, us parents, we always say things like, when I was young, I never got what I wanted. Did it kill me? Nah, it didn't kill me. So it's not going to kill you, is it? I mean, looking back, I remember the times, right, that my mum said no to going out with friends or to that expensive item that I thought I just had to have, or, and she needed to buy it for me. I can recall many times that I asked my mum for stuff and I never got them. Especially when I wanted to feel like I was part of, you know, the things that my peers were doing. I never got that trainer that I wanted because, you know, I felt that by having it, it would have made me feel acceptable to the group of friends that I had. I was not allowed to go to places that I wanted to go where all my peers were going. And I just had to be, I had to be calm with that no. I never thought of the cost my mum did, right? I never thought of how she had to go and talk to my dad or even to find the money that for whatever I was asking. I mean, I didn't know her thought process. Of course, there's been other times in my life where I've heard no. The outcome of these have, I guess, built character and some form of resilience, because some of those experiences have made me wiser. They've taught me lessons. Some valuable, while others, I don't even want to talk about. Boy, so if you've just joined this podcast, I'm talking about the word no. So I've had an extensive experience, or I've had extensive experience of working with young people and community in various settings. In my early years, I've trained as a community sports coach, youth leader, teacher, and I've been in various leadership positions, right? Like parent governor, chair of governors for federation, running departments. I've had various positions, right? I've even experienced mentoring and coaching others, as well as being the recipient of those. So I say all of this to let you know I've had many lessons from the University of Life and some serious learning encounters. I didn't become a mum until late, i.e. late 30s, and I enjoyed my singlehood motherless time and even had to deal with the possibilities of me not becoming a mother, which at that time was a serious no. And that was some difficult years when I reflect or think about it. I had time to reflect on my relationship with my mother. I've seen various mothering styles and techniques in the communities that I've worked in. I've spoken to lots of young people dealing with the fallout of their relationship with their parents. So I have been exposed to many hurts around many types of no's. So when I became pregnant and the likelihood of becoming a mother became real, I thought I had some clear lines and theories that I had developed that I could now put into practice. I was like, when I have my children, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. And I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that. And the easy no's are stuff around some of the following. Can I stay up late? No. Can I have that sweet? No. Can I do my homework tomorrow? No. Can we buy this and that? Especially when you're walking around a store. No, no, no. Can I play with this? No. Can we go there? No. Can I have a new dress, Mum? No. Can I have my hair braided? No. They're all easy no's and they're clear. I used to take my eldest child to mum and baby groups where often I was the only black mother. Watching white women talk to their children was an eye-opening lesson. I used to watch as babies and toddlers who had been told no would have a major explanation given to them from their mother. At first, I was in shock watching this because in my experience, had a parent ever explained a no? I thought it was unrealistic to do this to a child with limited understanding. It was not a practice I knew how to do. I hadn't seen it. It hadn't happened to me. So how was I going to be able to do that? Anyway, as far as I was concerned, right, there is a time and a place to discuss a no, and it was not with a toddler. However, as my children grew into their primary years, then some kind of explanation was given, but not detailed. It usually was, if I spend the money on this, we can't do that. So you choose. That's the kind of thing I'd say to them. Or if I buy that now, will it take place? If I buy this thing now, when it comes to Christmas, shall I not buy the thing that I was thinking of buying? So in a sense, I'm saying no, but I'm asking them to make a choice, right? As teenagers, this is where more of discussions took place, right? Because now they're kind of getting older. So my explanations of no needed to be a little bit more expanded. And now as they approach adulthood, or, you know, our conversations are much deeper. All of this takes consistency, and sometimes I just have to say enough is enough. I have found that resting in listening without saying a word has its own power. As my children got older, I found that unlike when my mother, whose word was bond and no explanation or alternatives were considered, there you go, I knew Bella would be coming at some point. You all know this. Bella is like the audience of this podcast. Anyway, you know, as I was saying, as my kids, you know, my mum's word was bond, so there was no explanation or alternatives. And as a mother now, I was battling with how I had been brought up and how I wanted to be seen as a mother to my children. During my early church days, I recall scripture around spare the rod, spoil the child. And my studies from sociological and psychological theories about child rearing, most of which is written from a white perspective, meant I had to struggle to make some decisions without knowing if these were right or wrong. The truth is, right, like as parents, I say it all the time, there's no journal. I've heard so many parents say the same thing. There isn't a journal on parenting. So, you know, you're trying. You don't know if it's right or wrong. But I guess where the difference is if you know something's wrong, or if you know that you've said no to something and it requires an explanation, it's, are we brave enough to do that? Are we brave enough to do the explanation, expose ourselves, in the hope that we don't lose the respect of our children because they'll see us as weak? Or is there really strength in saying no? I mean, that's something to think about, I guess. All I know or knew back then and know now is that I had to work out how to prepare my children to be in a society that looks at their black skin and judges them according to the stereotypes running around in other people's heads. I recall the experiences that I faced in the education setting because of people's stereotype and their lack of expectation or their misinformation about who I was and what I might be capable of. How when I was on the street and around peers, how people in the general public who didn't know me made assumptions and in some cases felt it was okay to say and do things because they thought they held the power or held some sort of power. I faced prejudice within my own community around shadism and about what is a good parent or a bad parent. Among other things, the cultural expectations of the old facing the cultural expectations of the new all meant that sometimes I had to explain why my no's meant no. I wasn't acting white. I was preparing my black children to understand and act within a white Britain, because this is where we live. So how was I going to do that without creating some level of understanding so that my children could survive? When my children wanted me to buy something that was going to cost a lot of money, I also had to get over the guilt I sometimes felt because I couldn't afford to follow the trends, and I felt that I had to justify my no's. Even when I could afford things, there were still no's. If you can hear any singing in the background, it's my eldest downstairs in the kitchen. She is wailing. Well, she's got a nice voice. She's got a good voice. I'm hoping this doesn't pick her up, but it is what it is. We're still just coming out of lockdown. Anyway, what I was saying was that even when I could afford stuff, there were still no's. And really, no amount of justifying takes away the feeling of disappointment or hopes dashed. If I'm truthful, a lot of personal financial sacrifices have taken place. You know, me going without so they could have, me saving or getting myself in debt so that at Christmas I could buy something outstanding for them, me hiding my debt and dealing with the plan to repay the credit card for the rest of the year or months so that they could have one day where no was not an issue. Those are my secrets to keep. But now I am reaping some blessings that flow from those times. Long may it continue. I also remember when my children have told me no. Now, listen up carefully. In West Indian homes, and this is my experience, no child ever overtly says no to their parent. Each culture will handle its own way of dealing with this, but in my mum's house, back then, when she never allowed any space for me to say that to her. Now, let me be clear. When I was living at home, I may have had the no in my head, like I wanted to say to my mother, no, but that never came out of my mouth. And there's many of you now laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah? You couldn't be mad to say no to your parents. You're crazy. Boy. But as I say, every culture handles these things differently. I remember, right, I was engaged to be married at 18. And I went out with my future husband and I'll come home to find that the front door had been locked and I was locked out of my house. Why? Because I had come home beyond the curfew that my mother had set. And that is just one example. Did I get locked out again? No. But thinking back, how difficult it must be to be raised in another country and then come to England and try and raise your kids the way your family or culture functions, but now you encounter the UK system telling you no. No, you can't discipline your child like you had, because we see that as abuse and there are consequences. Or that your child is engaged in activities with their peers that bring social services to your door. Or someone walks into your home and undermines your parenting and threatens to break up your family. Now, if that isn't a big no, I don't know what it is. You see me? I was born in the UK. I was schooled in the UK. And I was brought up with Jamaican parents. So how do I balance between the two? Truth is, sometimes that has been a hit and miss. But I thought about how would the yes and no's prepare my children to engage with White Britain. So I had to take some risks. My ex and I didn't agree on how I allowed this to take place because he was born and raised in JA. So can you understand my environment? I felt I was battling on many fronts while also trying to be strategic, and there sure wasn't any roadmap to navigate that path. So of course, there were casualties. I had to correct how my kids pushed back, explain more to help them understand or overstand. I had to repeat this thing again and again, and I had to measure when I felt they were stepping beyond the boundaries that showed me or their father any lack of respect. I had to hear when they said they didn't feel respected and how things we did made them feel. I had to take those things into consideration to help me rethink what was my real purpose with regards to whatever we were dealing with. And then I had to try again. I even had to try and explain things from their father's point of view because he wasn't into the talking. You know what I mean? A lot of saliva was used. I mashed up my gums a lot. I felt the guilt and I lived with it. Sometimes I tried to repair where I had hurt, and other times they needed to learn the lesson and that the no was really a no. Handle your feelings about that. They had to learn that sometimes I couldn't explain everything, that the no might just save their lives at that particular time. If we lived beyond that moment, then I was lucky enough to explain. But they had to trust me. But trust is a building. You build that. For example, my eldest, she used to love running off ahead of me. In a park, that was okay. But on a busy main road, you understand? You get the picture. So when I used to shout out, no, and act rough, I could see people judging. But as far as I was concerned, you never waited so long to get pregnant and have this child for her to run off and get licked down by a car or whatever. So at that time, I was not giving a damn about what anyone was thinking. I was saving my child. So if I sounded angry and rough, that's your deal. As long as I wasn't telling her how worthless she was, we were all right. When she got older and wanted to go out with some friends, I would ask who, what, where, and when. Based on the responses, the answer was no. I explained to her I was scared of what might happen. But through talking about what really were my fears and how we might overcome them, we developed a way to meet in the middle. She accepted that to alleviate some of my fears, I might need to contact her friend's parents, scope out the land where she wanted to go, and she would need to text or call me when she arrived. When she was leaving or on the bus. Now, to some of you, that might sound OTT, over the top. But that worked out for us. And there are many more examples. I'm just telling you the headline. I've been blessed to see that some of the things I've said no to have shown them the power of no. That my decision of saying no was correct. I've also been true to myself to say when I've been wrong, or at least willing to admit my fears were not founded and that I needed to trust in their decision as well, especially as they got older. Even for those of you with adult children, the pain is in watching them make decisions that you would want to say a no to. But they're going to do what they're going to do. Some cases, we just hope they don't lose their lives because of their decisions. even if we feel shame to see them end up in prison or on drugs or with that partner we might not really like, they live to fight another day. So with that said, here endeth the podcast. Oh, hang on. Before I click off, I pressed the button too quick and my computer just went off. So I ended a little bit abruptly originally. So I'm going to just cut and paste. And I was saying that here endeth the podcast, but you didn't think you were going to get away that easy, right? Because I just wanted to do a couple of things. I want to say thank you to all of you who have been giving me feedback about the podcast in whichever manner you've done it. I want to say a thank you to those who have been willing to come along and share their passions, their parenting insights in person or as a part of a collective. Those who have shared their experiences with me, helping me to reflect on my own parenting. Thanks to those who were willing to tell me their stories so that I could share here without embarrassing them or mentioning their names, but who want others to learn from their experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. But most of all, thank you for the love in receiving these podcasts. Yes, I write them and sometimes may just go off script, but I believe I'm following a calling. But without you all, without us being willing to share and learn from each other, even if it's a small thing that makes us think or helps to change a practice that will help our children, this would mean nothing. There's a reggae dancehall song by an artist called Chronic from his album Chronology, and it's a song called Likes. And I love it because when I was thinking about doing this, all I could hear in my back of my head was the hook on that song, which says, "Me do it for me love, me do it for the love, me not do it for the likes." So I do this for love, not about likes. I'm not going to see the benefits of some of the things that I've said and how it might impact others. I just believe that we need a space where we can share and where we can learn from each other and where we can heal and try and improve things for ourselves and for our children. So if anyone is out there wanting to share their parenting experience with us so we can learn from each other, please reach out using the email parenttalkwithbev, and that's all one word, parenttalkwithbev@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram, and it's Bev Parent Talk. I know, I had to play with the words because people have taken things already. So remember to like, share, follow, comment, but most of all, thank you for listening. Wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. Remain safe. Until next time, I am out.